620. This is 1320 WILS. So more than 2,000 people have jumped to their death. Imagine that, from the Golden Gate Bridge since it was built in 1937. Several dozen have survived, including my next guest, Kevin Hines. He was just at Michigan, at Eastern Michigan University, talking about his experience. He does this nationwide. He's the author of the book Cracked, Not Broken, Surviving and Thriving After a Suicide Attempt. Kevin Hines on WILS. Kevin, great to have you here.
Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. I know you were 19 at the time. I mean, of all the ways to try to kill yourself, this seems like one of the most frightening ones, to jump off a bridge. How did you end up thinking of doing that?
Well, I got to that place in my life after living for 2 years with bipolar disorder, with psychotic features, something that led me to experience hallucinations, auditory and visual, paranoid delusions where I believe people were often trying to kill me of all kinds, trying to hurt me, out to get me. And I had manic episodes that led me to think I could do things that weren't humanly possible. And with all that comes the depression that leads to suicidal ideation, which, of course, led me to the bridge.
Why the bridge, though? I mean, obviously, people kill themselves in all kinds of ways. Why go to the bridge and jump off?
Well, it's important that we change the conversation amongst us and not necessarily talk about the impact of the method, because when you just talk about the method in public or on the media, it can get someone who is thinking of these things to consider it. I will tell you this. It's very simple. I'll give you the most rudimentary answer. It's a 4-foot-nothing rail. It's ease of access to lethal means. But I'm very glad to say that we have fought for a net and a net to go under the bridge to stop the suicides. And the way we've designed this net is that it is going to be impossible to go to the water from it.
Tashi, hit the water in that distance. And it's quite a drop, something like 220 feet. Tell me this, though, Kevin. Do you remember the moment of letting go? I mean, do you remember that moment of actually jumping and thinking,
I'll tell you, that part's important because at the millisecond of free fall, I had an instant regret for my actions. And that part's important also because 19 of the 36 Golden Gate Bridge jump survivors in the last 80 years have all come forward to say they had my exact same instant regret from that action. You see, thinking of suicide and acting on those thoughts are two separate things.
What was that feeling? The regret. I mean, can you explain that a little more? What was that feeling you had as you jumped off?
So, just, you have to understand that taking that kind of action is separate from the thoughts of people thinking about taking that action. Mm-hmm. So, when I thought it was actually too late, all I wanted to do was live. And we find that in methods all across the world, of all kinds. When people have survived in that moment where they think it's too late, they often experience this instant regret, which is really important for our young people and old alike to understand that you don't have to take action on thoughts of suicide.
And the regret was based on what? What was it that you wanted to live for at that point?
I wanted to live because suicide wasn't the true answer. I was having such a painful experience with my depression. And I call it brain pain, that I was clouded to see that this reality, this pain I was having, wasn't going to be forever. I tell kids all the time, today is not tomorrow. And just because you're having a hard time right now, just because you're hallucinatory or hearing voices or seeing things or so manic you can't see straight, it doesn't mean you have to die. What it means is you have to raise your hand and say, I need help now.
Talking to Kevin Hines, his book is Cracked, Not Broken, Surviving and Thriving After a Suicide Attempt. So I'm guessing you don't remember you don't remember the moments after the suicide, do you? Or the attempted suicide, I should say.
No, I remember every millisecond of it, sir. I just don't want to get into the details
of it.
Of the hit and the fall. I will tell you that there were some things that came into play that saved my life that seemed, for me, rather miraculous. I'm a man of faith. I don't push that on anybody. But I did experience some things that physically saved my life. But that's after I was already in the water. And I'll just tell you, one of the things that occurred was a sea lion came to my aid and circled beneath me, literally keeping me afloat until the Coast Guard boat arrived behind me. People have said over time that these things can happen. Sea lions, dolphins, even some sharks have come to the aid of human beings in times of dire situations and kept them from drowning all over the world over the course of time. But in my case, I didn't know it was a sea lion. I thought it was a shark, and I was freaking out. And then some people wrote into the show I was on promoting a suicide prevention campaign where I mentioned I thought there was a shark, and a man wrote into me from the show and said, "Kevin, I'm so very glad you're alive. I was standing less than 2 feet from you when you jumped." He said in his letter that no one would ever tell me whether you lived or died. "I'm so very glad you're here, Kevin. By the way, there was no shark like you mentioned on the show. You thought there was, but there was a sea lion."
Wow.
And he had pitched. Yeah.
Kevin, tell me this, the physical impact. What happened to you physically after the attempt?
Well, you know, it's interesting. People don't get that by jumping into a giant body of water, they think they're going to disappear into this abyss and die upon impact, when in fact, there are tens of ways to die off the Golden Gate Bridge, and they are slow, bloody, and violent, and they're tragic. So I was very lucky in the sense that the only thing that happened to me was that I shattered my T12, L1, and L2 lower vertebrae into shards like glass. They were able to reconstruct my back with metal.
Kevin Hines with us. The book is Cracked, Not Broken. In terms of the mental health issues you were dealing with, how did you confront them then after the attempt?
Well, it's been a long journey. I was in 7 psych wards in the next 11 years for my suicidal ideations that would occur on a regular basis. I live with chronic suicidal thoughts, but I fight every day with exercise, eating healthily. I educate myself daily about the newest findings and treatments that are reputable and proven in bipolar disorder. I read books like Bipolar for Dummies and Loving Someone with Bipolar Disorder by Julie A. Fast.
That regret, though, you mentioned, did that affect you in a way that you weren't really going to try that again, the feeling of regret you had after jumping?
It affected me in a way that it made me appreciate the fragility of life. It made me appreciate every millisecond that I get to be on this planet. And even though I have chronic suicidal thoughts, I maintain I will never attempt to take my life again. Because I saw the wake of destruction it caused everybody who knew and loved me, and B, because I deserve to be here just like everybody else. And if you can find that place where you realize and you recognize that you deserve to be here in your mental pain and you don't have to die, and there are other options, then there are ways to get around that. I teach kids and people of all ages educating themselves about their diagnosis, eating healthily, exercising, using coping strategies, like writing and drawing and art, refraining from all drugs and alcohol and things like that.
For those who can't understand that dynamic of having chronic suicidal thoughts, can you explain how that works for you and what happens exactly?
Well, frankly, there are a lot of people who have it, but I do understand there are many more that don't. Imagine that you go through your life engaged in different activities and around the people that love you and care for you, but you constantly feel less than, and you have these burgeoning thoughts that you have to die. For me, they pop up at the weirdest and oddest of times, and I have to fight them, but the first thing I do is turn to my wife, turn to my family, or turn to my friends and say, "I'm having these thoughts. They don't mean I'm going to take the action. How can we make sure I'm safe today?" And that's about being self-aware with a mental illness, and it's very hard to do, but it's possible.
In terms of psychoanalysis, have you identified is there something that you feel was the cause of these kinds of thoughts beginning in your life?
Well, the cause of them is the rather malfunction in my brain. This bipolar disorder with psychotic features is very persistent. I live with, you know, not just these kinds of thoughts, but I still have the paranoid delusions. I still have hallucinations, both auditory and visual. I still have manic episodes that lead me to think I can do things that aren't in the realm of reality. But every time I have all of these symptoms, I'm lucky enough to turn to a wife who understands and tell her all about them. We have a powwow. She says sometimes, you know, drop and give me 50 push-ups or go for a run. And I'm lucky I'm able to do that because I switch my thinking. I change and transition from those painful situations to engaging with loved ones so I can be safe.
Learn a lot more in his book. The book is Cracked, Not Broken, Surviving and Thriving After a Suicide Attempt. It's Kevin Hines. The book again, Cracked, Not Broken, Kevin Hines, right here on 1320 WILS. Kevin, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Yep. Take care.
It is 6:30. When we come back, Forget the war on terror. We're about to face the deadliest enemy, our war against killer germs. We'll hear all about it next here on 1320 WILS.